time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
A t-shirt and jeans. Mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match. Like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at schwabvious.com.
Hi, and I'm Reggie Rodriguez here with A Race of Your Own, where we talk about how inspiration leads to resilience. And you'll see I'm in a special place this episode, and I'm really excited to have this next guest. She's a SUNY graduate, and in 2023 was appointed by the New York City Mayor Eric Adams as Deputy Mayor for Strategic Initiatives, which focuses on education and youth. She's previously served 6 years as Chief of Staff for New York State Director of Nonprofits. She helps spearhead multimedia campaigns and efforts throughout the state's 10 regions. She's had oversight over $25 million budget for poverty reduction. And I can keep going. She's also received her associate's degree from Hosta City College, CUNY alum, because I'm also a CUNY alum here at City College. Go CUNY. And she holds a master's in international affairs, immigration policy reform, and economic and political development, amongst others. Welcome, Ana Almanza.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Es un placer.
Todo mío. Todo mío. Todo. Bienvenida a la alcaldía. Welcome to City Hall.
Sí, gracias. And este episodio lo voy a hacer medio Spanglish.
Okay, perfect.
So for those of you that studied Spanish in high school, pull out your textbook to do your Spanish, because this is going to be a little Spanglish in here. Thank you so much. Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you. Every time we get a chance to highlight the work that this administration has done, work that all my colleagues and I have been able to accomplish for me in 2.5, 2 years and 3 months or so, mm-hmm. but throughout the last 3.5 years, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. And it's well overdue for us to meet and do this together. So thank you.
And then I'll thank you. And it's going to be a lot of thank yous this end, but so you've made history as the first Dominican to serve as New York City's chief deputy mayor. So what does that milestone para la comunidad dominicana, la comunidad latina, para mujeres latinas, para ti, o sea, qué importante es tener ese puesto?
Bueno, Richard, you posed the question in a very interesting way. When I think about that, I think about who made history. And in this case, it's Mayor Eric Adams who made history. He made history by understanding the contributions that close to 1 million Dominicans who left the Dominican Republic, who made New York City their home, to whom New York City opened its door to trace a road to accomplish the American dream. He saw that, and he has been committed to the Dominican Republic from day one. In 2021, when he was elected to as a mayor, the first international trip he took was to the Dominican Republic. He won again about a year and a half later. And then this year in April, He and I traveled with other members of the administration to pay our respects to the victims of the Get Set nightclub and the tragedy that happened there, mm-hmm. But also to accompany the families who were suffering, and also to lend a hand in everything we can, the things that we learn from our own tragedy in New York City, and how we can help if the country needs it, lend that hand and show them how we can be a partner to help the Dominican Republic. But he has been a true partner to the community, and my appointment speaks highly of that, as it is the appointment of many Dominicans who are advisors to the premiers, who are commissioners, deputy commissioners, assistant commissioners, who are director of many different offices. And it symbolizes the contributions that our community continues to make in building this wonderful city to be the best place on earth.
Yeah, and it felt special me being, I'm based in Los Angeles. I am a New Yorker, but, and I will always be a New Yorker.
Yes, we're going to call you to that.
Stay there. It was special to see him there, but it was even more special because I had no idea. You know, I was like, it's the first Dominican to hold any, this position specifically, male or female.
Correct.
You know, so man or woman. So it was a special thing to see. And I saw your speech, you know, on the news, yeah. And it was heartfelt and it felt really real and really authentic.
It was a beautiful event the day of my announcement. And I come from a big family. It's 10 of us.
Dominican?
Dominican no. family. Oh, que sorpresa, right?
Que sorpresa.
So my siblings came and my mom, we have lost my father 5 months prior. Mm-hmm. And they all came to support me and to sort of mark the historical day in our lives. And when the mayor met him, we're lined up for a picture with him, take the picture, and he looks at us. And he tells the team, I want them to be behind us. I want the world to see that this is work that you do alone. Mm-hmm. You have a village to support you. And that's what I had. And that's why he helped me show the world that you don't do any of this alone, that you have people supporting you all throughout your journey.
That is amazing. And that's just, it's just really heartfelt and great to see. Do you feel like that's a responsibility for you now to carry that kind of like on your shoulders, like for the Dominican community specifically, just because it's such a big community here?
Well, and that's interesting because not only I understand that, but my family understands that. Mm-hmm. I had my career trajectory, and you read some of it. This particular position, and I've always treated everywhere I went, everywhere I've been, for working otherwise as unique. Even depending on the title, that I had that responsibility for that particular position, mm-hmm. and that I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, independent of how big or small it might be perceived by others. But to me, it is the biggest position always, whenever I'm anywhere. And I try to deliver on that. But the responsibility, I understood what that meant even from the moment I say yes. When I met the mayor for the interview, he told me, I know you have what it takes because I've seen your resume. And by the time you get to interview with me, many of the people have said yes. So the idea is now to see the match of the person and the resume, make sure that the same person and that this is a match for a civil servant to serve the city and also for the team that he already had. And he understood that I took that mission seriously, that I took the job seriously, that everything I've done has been in the service of others and that the responsibility I carry, understanding that my name at that door is not only my father's name, may he rest in peace, but my family name, the name of our entire community, almost 1 million strong, and the name of our entire country. And then the responsibility I carry for 8.5 million New Yorkers that I am responsible to serve and that I'm inspired and honored to serve every single day.
Yeah, even those that still don't live here anymore.
Correct, yes.
It's good to turn and see somebody that looks like me or somebody that represents my community and understands that from a sensitivity standpoint, right? Like you really get it and you hone in and you're like, no, I get it. I know what the city needs, right? And so, you know, speaking about being in this position and being chief deputy mayor, what are some of the top three priorities you've set for yourself in your first year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever.
It's interesting that being a deputy mayor, and I have the honor of serving as the deputy mayor for Chic Initiative specifically. Mm-hmm. Most of my fellow deputy mayors have a portfolio that has a very clear line of what ties it, right? When I came in, I looked at my portfolio and I saw that what ties my agencies and my offices together is education. From early childhood education all the way to CUNY. I'm a CUNY graduate, at Oslo's Community College, proud graduate. Now I serve as the liaison between the city and CUNY. So imagine having that immense honor. Yes.
That's amazing. I don't think I had that when I was
at
CUNY.
Mayor Adams gave the speech at the State of the City in 2024 mm-hmm. at Oslo's Community College. So for me to enter that building as a deputy mayor, years after I had graduated, understanding where I was when I first came to this country and that also opened its door for me. And now to be the liaison is a dream come true, beyond a dream. So when I think of the priorities that I designed and that I discussed with the mayor when we first met with the Mayor Adams, there were three that were top priorities. One is our challenges that we had faced as a city mm-hmm. for decades, paying our nonprofits. The mayor's assistance in us providing more childcare and early education seats for our families, making the city more affordable, his top priority. And then continuing that in working and stabilizing, right-sizing our after-school program. New York City has the largest after-school program in the nation, 164,000 youth that we provide after-school. And that is like a city for...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Any other parts of the country, right? And now, this year, Mayor Adams invested $331 million for after school. That's a 78% increase. So this year, now, and happy first day of school to many of our kids in the system.
They're back at school.
They're back in school. We're going to add 5,000 seats start this September. So starting today, 5,000 more seats throughout the entire city. Five boroughs, 40 schools.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
My after school programs were here and funded, and you know what I mean? And I know that sometimes of the things that weren't so addressed and whatever. So to hear that there's like that much of a budget dedicated to that.
And its baseline is a permanent investment.
Yeah.
And it's twofold. One is to increase the number of seats, to provide working families access to after school, the peace of mind that you can take an extra shift, that you can work that extra 4 hours, that you have a complete 9-8 hour shift, because you know that your child is intellectually engaged, is having fun, and is being provided a high quality after school program. Mm-hmm. That is a peace of mind, and it's safe, right? Yeah. Primarily that child is safe. Yeah. That for a family, a working family, all the families that we serve, it's a great step forward for them also to be able to accomplish the American dream. So those two are my three, and I'll summarize it quickly, cutting the red tape for the nonprofits in payment, making childcare high quality and more accessible as we continue to do through the administration, and also expanding and right-sizing the after school program. I summarize the answer in three. How's in that?
That's great. I think it's great. I think it's perfect. Another thing too, it's like, immigrant communities, right? Like they also benefit from stuff like that, right? So, you know, what are some of the key issues that you see with those immigrant communities within that, like them benefiting from those programs, right? Like, are there initiatives in that too? Or, you know, are they focused on that too? But, or they just kind of fall under that too?
So
they just supported with that.
So in New York City Public Schools, group of new New Yorkers that came to our city, we have over 40,000 new students in our system. And they all have access to our after school. Nice. And the new programs that we have added with the 5,000 seats for this year, we're going to add another 10,000 seats in 2026 for the school year 2026, and then another 5,000. So we're moving from 164,000, the size of a city anywhere in the world, to 184,000 seats in that program come school year 2027. Mm-hmm. That's 20,000 seats more. So that's
amazing.
For any New Yorker, any family who needs a seat will have access to an after school seat. And that is in our effort to make it universal.
Yeah, because specifically, like immigrant families, some of them work two jobs.
Yes.
You know, both parents, easily, so they have to work. So those kind of programs kind of come into play.
And it's a dual tool, because not only gives the parents a peace of mind to continue working, but also for that child, I might need some reinforcement of the English language skills. It gives them that extra space. It exposes them more to a larger group of students or a different group of students and teachers who will take the time to help them embark in learning the language that is so difficult. At least it was from Israel.
Right. Because you came over when you were 17 years old.
I was 17 and a half when I came.
17 and a half from the Dominican
Republic.
What
graduate.
Was that transition for you, right, to move into a new country, new language, I don't know if all your family came over, but, you know, maybe not all your family came over, right? Like, what was that like for you?
It was, it is a turning point of my life. It is the sort of the before and after, right? The Anna... I'm born and raised in the Dominican Republic, educated in the Dominican Republic until after, up to high school. I was a high school graduate when I came, and then as an immigrant. And I was fortunate enough that my father had migrated first, and we were separated for about 7 years or so.
Right.
And then my mom and five of my siblings and I, so seven of us, traveled together. If I tell you the airline, will know my name, my age. But we all traveled together in Dominican Airlines, and I remember Dominican Airlines. No, Dominican, muchacha. I think Marvin Delan.
Me imagino, yeah.
Right, right.
Me.
So we left, and we knew that there was a large Dominican community in New York, mm-hmm. and that we didn't understand geographically how New York really worked.
Right.
So, but my fam, my dad had come to live in Queens, and then he moved to Bushwick in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and that's where we landed, and that's where we've been for the last X number of years since we got here. But you won't know my age.
No, don't say age here, Anna. We don't age.
Oh, we'll do that. We mature like one.
Yes, we reverse engineer our age.
Yeah. So it was challenging. I think learning the language and being able to master it has been the most difficult challenge that I have ever overcome.
Wow.
It is my worst nightmare to wake up in a country where they don't speak Spanish or English. Like, if it's a recurring dream.
Right.
Because it was, and it has a lot to do with my personality, right? I speak very fast, I'm hyper, and English is a very methodical language where you have to enunciate every word and wait until you mention the next word. Spanish is one word, right? All
right.
Together.
And Dominicans speak fast.
We do.
Anyway.
So I try to slow myself down to make sure that I can convey the message.
And, you know, and I'm kind of going to kind of pull some of these questions in and kind of make them one big one, right? And, you know, you're basically a trailblazer in that sense, right? And so, do you feel added pressure because of that, right? That's the first part. And then the second part of that question is like, you know, how do you feel like you being in this position now will lead to other younger Latinas? We have a student in here today.
Commissioner Victor. We call her Commissioner Victor. She's Commissioner for a day.
Commissioner for the day. And you have that program with any student, you know, in the city, you know, you kind of being impactful in that sense to the younger generation and them looking up to you and going, I want to do what Anna does. You know, I want to be just like Anna. You know?
Well, in that, you first question about what it meant for the community, for my family. I take the opportunity whenever I can to go and meet students, independent of their background, because the idea is for them to see themselves. That if it took a lot of dedication, it took a lot of hard work, it took a lot of difficult decisions that I've been rewarded for, and also I pay the price for, right? That there are things that I didn't get to do because I spent days not in the library trying to learn English, or when I went to Columbia University and the level of competition that I have to adjust to was pretty demanding, and that took a lot of time for me to embark on other things. So I had to write that. I had to give up certain things to be able to accomplish many of my dreams. But New York City has afforded me unimaginable opportunities. And that is the mission. And that is how I wake up every day and come to City Hall and think about a 17-year-old me and how many other 17-year-olds are in the city and younger who are thinking about, who am I and what can I do? And my example is one of many, the thousands, hundreds of thousands of Dominican men and women who have traced their own path in this great city, mm-hmm. a city that opened its door to my family and I, mm-hmm. when we had nothing, absolutely nothing, and we were able to be afforded the American dream in this great, great city. And now I get to serve the city and to continue building a city that does that for many, if not all, our youth.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having the Statue of Liberty here is just, you know, bring me you're tired, you're poor. I think I'm saying that right. Like, you know, it's such a symbol and it's such a statement of that, right?
And it says that you do here. If you make it here, you can make it anywhere. And it's true.
It's true.
It's true because New Yorkers, we even walk with a mission. That we're going to go to the train. We're going to, I'm not going to look sideways. I'm just going to go and catch a train because I have somewhere to go. And that's how we take everything. And I'm a proud New Yorker.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I, you know, I'm, like I said, based in California now, based in Los Angeles. And I come back here and it comes back like instantly. Like my trooper face comes on and I get on the train and I'm like, nobody better mess with me.
My sister tells me when we go, we travel together. And they tell me, slow down. Yeah. Okay, so I'm like, oh, okay, I have to slow down. And I'm like,
no, I got to get somewhere.
Okay, I'm going to go to my lunch.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and again, I'm just kind of going through some of these questions here that I kind of wrote down. But looking at New York City today, you know, what do you think are some of its greatest strengths? But also, where do you see there's going to be like a greatest room for change in that sense?
Resilience is our greatest strength. Mm-hmm. We've been through a lot, at least since I landed. And before that, the history, we went through many different storms, right? We went through 9/11 and what that did to our city. So it sort of almost brought us to our knees, but just one knee. And then we just, you know, we're back together, right?
Yeah.
Straight up, chin up, shoulders back. And also the pandemic, and when we went through the pandemic for our administration, the humanitarian crisis with our New Yorkers, with the migrants that made New York City at home, and how we had to provide services for them, and the investment that we had to make, and the choices that we had to make, right, in order to provide those services for our New Yorkers. I work on changing the city for the better every day.
Yeah.
For the challenges that we face, right? The challenge might be different, but the goal stays the same. How can I make the city that I love, for many reasons, that I love the city, how can I make that same city for every other New Yorker, for every person who lives here, to access opportunity, to make it more affordable? I mean, Adams had emphasized throughout his entire career something that I believe is true, public safety, public safety, public safety. And once you feel safe, once you are safe, you are able to go to the movies, you feel more likely to, which is an investment back in the city. If you go to a theater, if you enjoy many amenities, and then you engage in your professional career in a city that protects you and that allows you to then embark in economic development of you and your family.
Yeah. And it
I hope I answered your question. Did I answer that question?
You totally answered it.
Okay.
I'm going to say you answered it. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because it's very thorough and it's very like kind of to the point. And you encompass all of it in one thing. And I'm kind of going to say a quote here from New York City, from Mayor Adams, that he said about you. And he says, Anna continues this administration's tradition of leadership by strong women, especially strong women of color. And I'm thrilled to have her as my new deputy mayor for strategic initiatives. So
that brought me back to May 26th.
You know, having someone that you work for or with, you know, that believes that, right? And it's like you said, you know, he made it a thing that it's you and your family and they're standing there behind you, you know, like it seems very, you know, some people might be like, well, that was just a strategic move on his part, but it sounds like to me it's just a very authentic thing.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Like he's actually uplifting that and saying, no, I want to highlight this aspect of her. He could highlight anything. You have a master's, you have all these masters. He could highlight any of those things, but he's highlighting that. Because there seems to be this through line of like, that's what's important to this
humanity,
right? To this community, specifically New Yorkers, specifically Latino community, especially what's happening across the country. Again, and not to get into it, but what was even happening in Los Angeles not too long ago. So it's like this important kind of through line that it has.
Well, and if you listen to the mayor, Mayor Adams, whenever he speaks about the Dominican community, in the Latino community at large.
I think he's Dominican.
Oh, he says, I'm from Alabama, but I was born in Alabama, but I'm Dominican.
I
he says that all the time. Whenever he speaks about the immigrant experience, so first Dominican, specifically Latino, more in general, and then the immigrant experience, he always speaks about three things, faith, family, and hard work. So when he brought my family to be on stage with us, he understood that those three things were important to us. Yeah. That my family, that if people came from Florida, from the Dominican Republic, to be here with us at that moment, he understood, and we prayed before we went out, he understood that faith and the family and the hard work is what brought us here. Mm-hmm. And not just me alone, but me and my entire family. Mm-hmm. And having that, and for him to give my family that special moment to share with us, and for all of us to be looking forward to the future of the city that I am a part of in terms of the leadership, it was an experience my family will never forget, and neither would I.
And that's special because it's where you hold it,
hold
it
very close
and dear.
Yes.
And you know,
he had my mom and I, he knew that we have lost my dad a few months before I was announced. And he met my mom, who speaks English barely, but he was able to communicate with her and tell her, I want you to walk with us. And the entire family walks out to the rotunda. They take their place behind the podium. And then it's the mayor. It is me and then my mom behind me. And it is a symbolism of that. Mm-hmm. That sure, her dad is not here today. But it took a lot of sacrifices for my mom and for my father for me to be able to be announced as a deputy mayor. Mm-hmm. And giving that gift to my mother, sort of a breath of life again. She had lost her partner, 61 years of marriage. And for her to be part of that experience was a gift that I couldn't even imagine.
What a beautiful moment.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was emotional. Mm-hmm. It was sad in a way, because we all wish my dad was there.
Right.
But we knew that without all that he did, coming to New York when he was 52, not speaking the language, not having a driver's license, and just because his commitment to his family, to his wife and his children, he would do whatever it took to support us. And yeah. I am just a demonstration of what he did
right.
for all of his kids.
What a great example of the resiliency of the Dominican community, yeah. you know, yeah. but also just immigrants that come here from any country, right?
Yeah.
From any country. And I'm going to hit two more things here. So one, you wrote an op-ed piece titled My Knees Gave In.
I try to submit the best translation for that.
Me imagino, you know, lo que pasó con el jet set fue, yo me quedé llorando por muchos días porque perdimos a Ruby Pérez y a Octavio Dotel y unos otros también.
Blanco, el diseñador.
Exacto. So me imagino, o sea, ¿qué te inspiró a hacer un op-ed así? Muy bello. Y escribí mucho aquí, pero no, I'm not gonna read all of it, but, you know, you wrote this op-ed that was just like this beautiful piece about what happened at Jet Set back in April of this year.
It was my first international trip as a deputy mayor, and visiting the Dominican Republic now somewhat as a maybe diplomat, I don't know if the right word, but as a
political figure?
Yes. Yes, maybe. As a public servant, international public servant. How about that? Got it right.
Yeah, we got it. Okay.
it was very emotional. When I speak of that, I write about it in the op-ed about landing and no one clapping and what that meant. I was like, ooh, what happened? And you can feel it. And then when I left the airport, my cousin picked me up and dropped me to the hotel, and there were no radios. It's a Sunday night. No radio, no one on the street. It was quiet. It was solemn. It was sad. And then visiting the jet set, where what it was, the jet set, somewhere I went there with one of my brothers years ago.
Yeah. And I think we've all been to that club. Yeah, at some point, growing up in DR and going back to visit. Yeah.
And it's just
you've been there
place to be.
Once.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you have to have a stamp.
Yeah.
And going there, knowing how many people lost their lives, and then thinking about the children that lost a parent, and then extracting from that the children who lost both parents. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, there are about 25 children who are orphans of both parents. Okay. And to lose them both in one day. I lost my dad 2.5 years ago, and I'm still dealing with it.
Right.
To imagine as an adult, and I have my dad who was healthy and strong and, you know, who fought for us and who had a wonderful life.
Right.
And for those children not to have that now, it was painful. I said once that when I landed, I was mourning the dead. Mm. And when I was at Jet Set, I started mourning the family, the survivors who are suffering through the loss that they will never be able to make up.
Well, I think you making it a point, and the mayor as well, Adams, making it a point to go and show your faces says a lot.
The first international commission to visit the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, and I think that just, it speaks volumes.
Yes.
As maybe as small as that might have seemed, I think on an international scale, that says a lot.
I had never seen so much press. Mm. Together, we landed that Sunday night, and we're in separate flights. Mm. And the next morning, we had a press conference very early on in the morning, about 8. And it was a date of events and visits and visiting some families. They were asking, like, why are you here, Mayor Adams?
Yeah.
And he said, because my brothers and sisters are in pain.
Yeah.
Because I have to be in solidarity with them, to share prayer and to share any knowledge that I may have that might be able to help prevent this from happening again. And he was, I remember that weekend, it happened on a Monday, and I had the flu. I was sick, and I came into work on Monday, went home that night, and then on Tuesday I woke up. I was like, I can't go to the office. I'm sick. And my husband tells me this happened in the Dominican Republic. The next call I get is from Mayor Adams, saying, what are we going to do? And I was like, ooh, I'm happy to be very sick. I said, infectious sick. Mm-hmm. So I went to the doctor. They clear me. And then we went. He called the consul general. He called president. And what can we do? And then, you know, 2 days later, we're packing our bags to go and be with our people. And as they hold their hands.
I think that's important more than anything. And I think being able to use your platforms, where even though it might not seem like a platform, you're like, well, I'm just a public servant. But you're using your platform in a way that's like completely going back to the people.
Correct. Copy. Yeah.
So there's one thing that I always ask all my guests.
Yes.
And that is, but thank you for that, for taking those times of doing that and reaching back out into the community, because I think it's really important and it speaks volumes. But one question that I always ask is, you know, in life, you go uphill, downhill. Sometimes you plateau.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get to a crossroads. Yeah. Sometimes you get to a crossroads and there's just tumbleweeds and you don't know which way to go. Right. So,
and sometimes all you see is a forest.
And then you don't see a forest. And you're like, I don't even see a road.
Correct.
You know, if you were to give, you know, a commissioner for a day or a student or even one of your staffers or a family member, you know, one piece of advice as of, you know, how do people should stay in a race of their own that would lead to resilience? What would that be?
Oh. I think you nailed it, just a race of your own. I have a quick story that I'll share with you.
Please.
And let me just look at the camera and tell my, please forgive me.
But.
Puede decir la historia.
Sí.
No es nada malo. I was in the Dominican Republic. I was in second grade and I, the last day of school, my mom comes to my school to pick up my grade part. And, I was excited. I had been promoted.
Nice.
And my mom looked at it and she looked at me and she looked back at it and she looked at me. And I was like, I knew I was in trouble. She's like, are you kidding me? She looked at my teacher and said, how dare you? You're going to promote her with those grades? Absolutely not. She's not to be promoted. I said, mom, come on. How embarrassing. She asked for my record because the school refused to put me back in second grade. Mm-hmm. And she took me to other schools until one accepted me back in second grade. So that day, very young, I understood, mediocrity is not an acceptable behavior in this household. So from that day on, I have strived to be my best and to give my best, independent of the position. Mm-hmm. And it might even seem like a competition, but it's a competition against myself. I'm always comparing myself to who I was yesterday. Am I being a better colleague? Am I being a better aunt, a better sister, a better wife, a better public servant? Than I was yesterday? Am I working harder? Am I working smarter? Am I contributing to the city or to the school that I was going to or to my family? And am I doing that in good faith and to the best of my abilities? And if I can answer those questions, the answer is yes, then I can take a nap at night and get some rest. Otherwise, it's tough. And my advice would be that dedication, commitment, and hard work is the formula that has worked for me. And for hundreds, and I want to look at the camera again, hundreds and thousands of Dominican and other immigrants who have made New York City at home.
Yeah.
I hope that our young people understand that the same opportunities that I have, we are building a city day by day that has the same opportunities that give us access to those opportunities to our young people. And that through commitment, hard work, and dedication, and discipline, you can accomplish everything that you set your mind to.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're rocket science and brain surgery. And you can accomplish it all.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I think the one thing that sticks out to me out of all of that was like, mediocrity is not accepted in this household.
No, mediocrity is not accepted.
Not accepted at all.
If you were doing the dishes, those dishes would be very shining and squeaky.
Clean. Squeaky clean.
Because my mother will make sure. Excellence to her. She never parted from excellence, whether you were ironing your clothes, whether you were putting on your makeup, whether you were shining your shoes to go to school, whether you were doing laundry. whether you're going to school for your master's degree at Columbia University. It doesn't matter. You have to strive for excellence. And sometimes you see the results, and sometimes you feel short, but not because of a lack of trying.
Right.
And she would tell you that if she were here, she would look at me because I tell the story. She would say, absolutely, yo, she didn't perform the way she should have. And she had to pay the consequences for it.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't shy away from that. She would never let me.
Wow. And just so you know, like, because you said it's like just in the name, Race of Your Own, this podcast was named after something a sportscaster said when Maileli Paulino, who was the first Dominican woman to win the World Championship for the Dominican Republic, the sportscaster said her lead was so big and so wide that the sportscaster said she's just in a race of her own.
Yes.
And so when she crossed the finish line, the girls were so far behind her, and she was so far ahead that she just broke down. I did it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? But when you look at that and you go, how much work did it take for her, and dedication and, you know, practicing and working out or whatever.
And that she was not airlifted in the drop. It was a lot of mini races that she has to run. There were a lot of setbacks, I'm sure, and I would love to meet her one day and learn about all that she had to do to get to where she was. So there's no, that you wake up one day, magically, you find yourself to be a deputy mayor, for example, that I work in a factory, and I was the best employee they ever had, because I'm against my mom behind.
In your head.
In my head, telling me. In every job, and I think I mentioned that earlier, that I ever had, every position, I strive to do that. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it everything I have, and I'm going to strive for excellence for my own peace of mind and also not to hear my mom.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I can see that in everything that you do. And I so appreciate you taking the time for this and your team and the commissioner for the day.
Yes. Commissioner Victor. Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I'm really excited to have you here in this position. Like, I'm excited to see what you're going to do with New York and work with.
I'm excited. I'm excited every day. We, as we look at the future and we look at the many things, and I mentioned the three strategies that I work with Mayor Adams on, they stay the same. We change the application and the policies that we design and implement, but the goal stays the same. When our nonprofits continue to pay them on time, continue to make sure that the process is seamless or as seamless as we can possibly make it, understanding that we have some guardrails, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're the custodians of the city, the tax-funded programs. Also working with our New York City Public School colleagues, make sure that every child who needs a childcare or an early education seat has access to it. And we have been able to accomplish that and continue to expand. Last year, we made 43,000 offers to families for childcare, 3K alone.
Wow.
And added another 10,000 seats because we knew the need was there. Yeah. The mayor saw it and invested $20 million to increase those seats. Wow. And the same thing for after school. Mayor Adams from day one said, we got to fix that system, DM Anna. And we have been committed to it by making the changes that its system needs, but also expanding the system by 20,000 seats and the investment that the mayor made, Mayor Adams made, by $331 million. That's what we're looking for the future to be able to implement fully. So very exciting.
It is very exciting.
It is. It is. I don't need coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. Because
Neither am I.
It gets me so hyper that my husband knows at 5 p.m. you drank coffee today. So I don't drink coffee, but the work itself, I don't need that caffeine because I'm energized by the work, by my colleagues, by the mission of this administration to continue building a city that's affordable, that's accessible, and that is safe for every single New Yorker. And Mayor Adams has accomplished that for now almost 4 years.
Wow. And I'm excited. I'm just excited to see what more you guys do with the city. So
stay tuned.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And this is Virgie Rodriguez with A Race of Your Own. Stay tuned. You want to ask Anna a question, put it in the comments, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you, City Hall, too.
Oh, thank you to your team.
Yeah, thank you.